Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
This has been a very screwed up opening to the show. I know it seems seamless.
I didn't even notice. You're over there pushing the buttons, controlling everything. It seems normal to me.
Total mess.
I hadn't noticed.
It's awful. Shut up, Rob. Half of your problem.
That's true.
But thank God, here is the calming.
Yes.
All of the problems were Rob's fault.
Well, not all of them, but I'm going to blame Rob for
all
of them.
That's what I'm gladly
saying. I was just saying that's what's usually. It's Rob's fault.
Here is the calming Phil Hochberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
He always makes me feel better. And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Regis's Wet Willy and all the ships at sea. Hey, screw New York. How can we get on in St. Croix? And now, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, that's good.
And hello, and thank you for listening. Coast to coast, nationwide, via Westwood One. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara. Don and Mike Show coming to you from our flagship radio station, WJFK FM in Washington, D.C. This show is syndicated every day on the Westwood One Network to 55 affiliate stations. Starting next week, it'll be 56 when we finally go on to New York City.
Oh, man, are we excited about NYC.
But for now, the total is double nickel, 55, and we have 6 million national listeners, Arbitron rated, and we humbly thank you for your patronage.
All right.
No thanks to Big Al, your radio pal, Jeremy the Gerbil, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Monkey Boy Ephraim, and here he is, my left and to your right, the unweird look today.
Yes, it's spring.
Big tuft of Brillo pad-like hair coming from between the second and third buttons of his button-down brawny man shirt.
Ooh.
There is senior citizen Michael Elston.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, and welcome to the show, everybody. It's Thursday, February 24, and our telephone number, as always, is 1-877-365-3636. We dive into your calls early and often, and the lovely Erica is standing by.
Toya
is standing by.
The lovely Toya, who is in a beautiful spring mood today.
I'm confused because Erica was here also.
Yes.
They were both running around together.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two girls for the price of one today.
That's right. Yay.
Two hot broads answering our telephones.
Very good.
So all you guys at the Beach Towel Club, go ahead and call them. We will take your calls momentarily on today's show. We're going to have the big fat furniture guys in here, the guys from the Learning Channel.
Looking forward to that.
And
are they
going
to teach us anything? Are they going to show us how to do anything?
No, they're not going to learn us anything.
Ah, what a drag.
We're just going to talk to them about being fat and being on television.
Yeah, it's fun to be fat and on TV.
Only one of them is fat, though, really.
Right, the one fat guy. And the fat guy
with the big hair is fat.
Right. The fat guy and the dumb guy.
Well, I don't know if he's dumb.
They're both smart.
Very smart at what they do.
And when it comes to doing that. But they're both just goofy.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're not dumb as much as they're goofy.
Well, I would categorize the fat guy as the smarter of the two. And the other guy is a little goofy. As the dumb guy. Huh. Being a fat guy myself, that's generally how I like to categorize people.
The most skinny guys are just kind of goofy.
Stupid.
Stupid and goofy.
Dumb. Fat people, really smart.
Unbelievably sharp.
Thank you, Rob.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thank you, Buzz. So you would be very stupid.
Would I? Well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
You're very stupid. You're very old, which has nothing to do with the fact that you're skinny, but you're also very stupid. Mike and I are approaching genii level.
Yes, you are.
Absolutely.
Mensa Club over here. Mensa Big Man's Club.
Wonderful.
So listen, on today's show, those guys, plus another guest coming up that I can't tell you about right now.
Ooh. Secret guest?
Yes, but we're hoping that we'll have a mystery guest on today's show.
Is it Marty Milner and Kent McCord?
No. Even though the last three times we've had mystery guests, it's been Marty Milner and Kent McCord.
The guys from Adam 12, a show that was on 300 years ago.
No, we will have new, fresh mystery guest, a mystery guest singular calling in today.
Will you be giving us any hints?
More happening than Martin Milner and Kent McCord.
Well, that's...
Thank you. You've narrowed it down to the world. That's everybody. That even includes all you people driving around listening to us right now on the radio in your cars throughout America.
Sure.
Everybody's more happening than they are. So lots of stuff happening today. Plus, it's Big Gum Jim's birthday.
Yeah. Right.
So we have a two-girl show for him.
Wonderful.
I would be able to give you the start time of that if our producer didn't insist on taking lunch every day in the hour before the show goes on the air.
He does that specifically to make sure he avoids all of us.
Just another, let me just say, today has been
You having a bad day today?
Not a good day.
Oh, yeah.
Not a good day. I mean, first I was on the phone with Ken and on the phone with Jeremy that we might have to push back the start date for New York one day.
Right.
Because of having technical problems up at the station in New York. So it might be Tuesday instead of Monday.
Yeah.
And I'm on the phone with both of them and trying to decipher what's really happening is impossible.
I come in, like, offering no help at all. I come in, you tell me this, and I'm just looking at you going, well, why? Why? What's going on? Why? Why? Why?
You know, that's draining to begin with, to talk to those two numbskulls. Then I come down here, and I get to the studio like I always do, 5 minutes before the show starts, and nothing's laid out.
Uh-oh.
I mean, normally we have people that come in, and they put our tapes out, and they get our beverages, and the newspaper is here. And 30 seconds before we go on the air, Rob says, oh, yeah, we lost the open. You know the tape that we play that says, this is the Don and Mike show from Westwood One, copyright 2000?
Right.
Well, what happened? I don't know. We lost it.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't lose it. I'm using we in the Queen sense.
Of course.
I mean, he lost it.
Rob, Rob, you don't lose stuff.
So
that's not you either.
So he loses that tape.
What happened? Somebody steal it?
Every day since I've been in this studio, every day before I was in this studio, it's gone in the same place on the round rack, and today it wasn't
there. You know
there.
Who it is.
Mm. Oh.
It's Greg Edger.
So he's
could be.
So he's running around trying to find this. Okay. Meanwhile, we go on the air today without the network open, which throws the time.
For all the board ops.
For the network,
right.
That throws the time off. So we go to break. And I go to play the traffic music, and I cue the traffic reporter, and there's nothing there.
Really?
There's nothing. I'm looking at the board, and Rob says, I can hear her. And I said, well, I'm glad you can hear her. I can't hear her. Her voice is not coming out of the radio.
And what was the problem there?
Again, I don't know.
Rob?
I just sit here and push the buttons. I don't know.
The recorder was in the input mode as opposed to the repro mode. So although she was there, it wasn't playing.
Oh.
So all you heard on the radio was the traffic music.
But did you have something happen? I mean, did you have a bad day too or what?
No, I just found out about the stuff too late.
Okay.
And I came in looking. I mean, it was a dropped ball.
Oh.
And I apologize.
I just don't like that. I don't like things either. I don't like things being out of order to start this show.
I can tell you why all of this happened. I know exactly why.
Why?
I'm a very big believer in, you kind of get indications at the very beginning of your day if it's not going to be the greatest day in the world. And my day started by walking downstairs. I was going to make my daughter her sandwich for school, and the dog had eaten an entire loaf of bread. Not a loaf of bread that had been left out on the counter, mind you, where a dog can get there. A loaf of bread. I am not lying here.
You almost said I S you not, didn't you?
I S you not. A loaf of bread. This was my crime. When I finished making the bread, and we have the little tin bread box there that is back off the counter.
You mean when you finished making the sandwich?
The sandwich. When I finished making
the bread.
When I finished making the sandwich. I'm so upset about this. This is why this whole day has been bad. I make the sandwich yesterday, and we don't use the bread for the rest of the day. So I put the bread back in the bread box. The only way the dog got the bread, there was a little piece of plastic hanging out, like the front of it after the twist tie,
right.
Hanging outside of the bread box, pinned under the lid. And the dog and I came downstairs, and the bread box was tipped over. The dog had gotten up, taken the plastic, not even identifying it in its little tiny dog brain as bread, and had taken the plastic and yanked the entire loaf of bread out of the bread tin and devoured it, leaving my daughter. So my daughter had to go to school today with, I'm sorry, and I feel like a bad father.
With a dog sandwich.
Yogurt.
Oh.
Yogurt.
Yogurt.
Well, that's all right.
Oh, it sucks.
I want to
let her eat like a supermodel. How old is she now? Four?
Four, Don.
Four.
I'm never
too young to start a girl dieting, Mike.
Usually it's a sandwich. It's a little snack. It's a little cookie item or something.
Right.
Something, you know, a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some chips. And it's usually a little apple juice.
Much like the bag lunch that Rob brings to work
every
day.
Similar to Rob's diet. But today, because I came up short, I put cookies in there. I put chips. I put four boxes of raisins in there.
Good.
I put an apple in there. She's not going to eat any of this. But my dog, that's why this day is gone. But I knew when I looked at that, and I looked at the dog saliva covered plastic remnants of where there once was bread, I said, this day is S.
Well, my
day is already S.
My day has been golden till I came here.
Yeah.
Until I showed up here, this has been a fine day.
You know, and most of the stuff that you're upset about happened when? When I walked into the office. You had that meeting, but the real bad stuff happened after I got here.
That's true.
I just want to apologize.
Let me read you the first line of your horoscope today.
Okay.
Delays with situations at a distance.
That's exactly what you just described.
Delays.
Spooky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Spooky. That's what happened.
I don't believe that crab buzz.
Yeah, neither do I.
We did find the network open, so for the record, here it is.
Now it's time for another Spanish-mabulous episode of...
The Don and Mike Show.
And today we shall witness an earth-shaking discovery.
Don Geronimo. Mike O'Mara.
Who are you guys?
We should have played this 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Radio God.
You gave us jobs in security, show business.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right. You got a show to do.
Come on, guys. We're on the air.
Have a good show.
Produced by 106.7 WJFK, Washington Superstation.
It's going to be a great show.
All right, well, good luck.
And distributed by Westwood One Entertainment.
We should thank our lucky stars. They're still putting on a program of this caliber.
For so many years. Okay.
I know legally we didn't have to play it. It has no kind of station ID or anything, but I just feel better now. I feel much better now that we've played the goddamn tape.
You're a little anal that way.
Sure am.
Superstitious, really.
Sure am. Yes, both. I'm anal and superstitious.
You don't believe me?
I'm anal-stitious.
That'll be the title of the book.
I'm super anal.
Don Geronimo's anal-stitious.
Welcome to my anal-stitious. Okay, now that that's out of the way.
Yes.
I would like to have the producer, though, at least pop his head in.
Just to see that he's here.
At some point. I mean, there are some duties on the show that the producer does have to do.
Yes.
You know, like line up the guests and stuff.
Right. Charles Loring?
I'd just like to know, is Loring even here?
Is he in the building?
I haven't seen him. I never do, though.
I mean, there he is. All right, well, come here for a minute. How come you have lunch? How come you have lunch every day at the time when I come in?
It's not when you come in. I left at 1 o'clock.
What time did you get back?
3.
Okay.
Where have you been? Lunch. Did you have a lunch with the honey?
Miss Bobby.
Oh, really?
Did you really have lunch with Miss Bobby?
Yeah.
Oh, no, really? It was kind of a business and pleasure.
Where'd you have lunch at the Breezeway?
All pleasure.
You go rent a nice $30 a night hotel room, or do you get one of those
something?
You get one of those room by the hour places.
No food was consumed.
That's right. Yeah. A lunch of passion.
Right on.
Ooh, you stud.
No, it was Jimmy's birthday lunch.
Well, certainly that's reason.
Yeah, that's, boy, I tell you, that just went from being worthwhile to bupkis.
That's good reason. It was worthwhile to me.
That's good reason not to be here.
Right.
Well, just so you know, the show was falling apart at 3 o'clock today. None of the tapes were here.
You have to go.
Everything was out of order.
You have to leave early tonight, so you can go home and bake him a cake now, or
what? Oh, no, it's in the oven already.
Are we set with the girls?
That's I'm still cooking a roast.
Are we set with the girls for his
care night?
Are we set with the girls?
Set.
Okay.
We're set with the fat guys.
Okay, good. That's all I needed to know. We're set with the girls for the birthday show. We're set with the fat guys.
Everything's fine.
Beautiful.
That's why I didn't call you, because everything was fine.
Okay, but I like it when you're not here, when you do call me.
Okay.
Just to tell me everything's fine. See, because it wouldn't have mattered if you would have called, because things weren't fine anyway.
What is that new phaser you're carrying around there?
This is a phaser. This is my Motorola TimePort phone.
Okay, is it new?
Not anymore.
Well, he's had it for a while.
Yeah, I've had it for a while.
Okay, all right. I just haven't noticed you wearing it around your...
Well, because it stands out on my pants.
Mm-hmm.
They clash.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charles.
Okay. Right,
you. Will you be assuming the position now?
Of
producer?
I assume that every moment I'm in the building.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And even at the other end of my Motorola TimePort.
I know. All right.
You could have called me.
I could have called you. What was I supposed to do? Call you at 3 o'clock and say, none of the tapes are here. I didn't say to Rob. I said, where's Broyhill?
Right.
I don't know.
I think we've actually, we've gone to the limit as far as his ability to be lucid with conversation right now.
And not to mention the fact that someone kept calling on 444.
Yes. Oh, no.
He goes, yes, I know. Don't patronize me.
don't make it so easy.
Look, it's very confusing. There's a line in here, an inside line, line 9, and when it lights up, it sets off a big light
bulb. There to answer it.
It sets off a big light bulb in the studio, and it kept going off, and we were trying to find these commercials. Christ, I almost crapped my pants, man. You were out at lunch. Hope you had a hell of a piss, Charlie.
It was a great lunch.
To quote Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Quality time with Bobby. Uh-huh.
So it was important for you to attend Big Gum Jim's birthday lunch.
Very important.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Your excuse.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. There's our producer, Charles Broyhill. See, that's all I needed to know. The girls are set, the fat guys are set.
Right.
Or the fat guy and the skinny guy are set.
Yeah,
we're all set today.
Big Gum Jim. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
happy birthday.
Big priority. Right. That certainly is a good reason to be away from your duties here.
Absolutely.
To be a Big Gum Jim's birthday dinner. Where was it? A tray diarrhea?
Chips? No more chips? What's the best birthday you've ever had?
I tell you, we're going to get those girls to humiliate him today.
Very good.
He's going to have to do worse stuff than you ever had to do, Buzz.
He won't care. He won't care at all.
He'll wear the hat appendage or whatever the heck it is.
Absolutely.
All right, well, listen, the first thing I got to mention today, now that the show is actually on the air.
Yes, it is.
The first thing I have to mention is, Jesus H. Christ, that Jennifer Lopez is hot.
Yeah. Man, you picked a good one there. I know she's like your number one hottie.
She was my E-mode dream date when we picked our celebrity matches on E-mode.
Oh, she was strong.
I only watched the Grammys off and on for maybe a total of 10 minutes last night, but I was lucky enough to flip it on when she came out with that dude from the X-Files.
And, you know, my props to all the local newscasts, too, that, you know, had a little bit of her on. They really, you know, I'm surprised they put her on the regular news.
That is not a dress.
It's a scarf.
Jennifer Lopez had on last night.
It's a Versace scarf dress.
I want to tell you something. I believe in reincarnation. When I come back next time, I want to come back as a Versace scarf dress.
Was she wearing panties?
I believe so.
Or maybe like a thong or something.
She's got something that looks like a bathing suit bottom.
Yeah.
A bikini bottom.
Yeah,
down there
she
on the
does.
Bottom.
Right.
But she definitely had no bra on.
Right.
And I kept waiting for that baby to fall off.
It was taped. I'm sure it was taped. It had to be taped.
You think it was taped to her nips?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what they do. That's what, who's the actress at the, it wasn't the Academy Awards, it was the Golden Globes, and she was in the movie Big Night. She used to go out with Matt Damon, and I don't know, she got a big face, but she had a super plunging neckline, and I think she mentioned that she taped it on there.
Wow, well, that Jennifer Lopez is simply too hot. That made the Grammy experience, when I tuned back in, that made it worthwhile. Because every time I saw, speaking of fat, when I saw Rosie O'Donnell, who looks like one of those furniture guys.
Sure.
Every time I saw Rosie O'Donnell, I would just have to stop and close my eyes and remind myself how great Jennifer Lopez looked.
Rosie O'Donnell.
They tried to fix her up.
I mean, she can't be fixed up.
You can tell that it was a big time.
She's like a sweaty little boy.
Network television show that they had just trolled on the makeup.
Right.
They obviously had tried to fix her hair.
Sure.
They even had, I noticed they had Rosie O'Donnell in some kind of a push-up bra because there was some kind of limited cheese cleavage that she had doing there.
That's right.
But it was just, it was a mess. And you remember yesterday when we were reading some of her jokes?
Yeah.
That she had leaked to the newspaper?
Right.
She used many of those same jokes last night in her tired monologue.
And I haven't heard anything further about it, but there was a rumor that because she used jokes about Whitney Houston in Honolulu and the pot, that Whitney Houston apparently, now this is all speculation, had asked Rosie not to use, not to do that kind of material. She had still done that kind of material, and apparently there was some kind of backstage altercation between
Rosie
O'Donnell and Whitney Houston. This is all rumor. I heard this.
My money would be on Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that. I don't know whether, you know, that's, it will probably be all over the tabloids.
The whole thing with Rosie O'Donnell is, this was a problem with Rosie O'Donnell, besides the fact that she's just a blob and nobody likes her. She came on this show last night and she attempted to do some material that had an edge to it.
Right.
And because she has this prefabricated, wholesome, holier-than-thou image, which is bull.
Which is bull. Anybody remembers her stand-up, she was just a, you know, down-and-dirty, raunchy stand-up comic.
When she came out last night, the first joke that she made had the word ass in it. And after she said ass, she looked at the audience like, ooh.
Oh, I'm so bad.
Look at me. Look at Ro.
Like she doesn't sit there backstage at her show.
Get your effing asses over here.
You know she does. You know, that's what she talks in real life.
And the jokes that she made, a lot of them were, I thought, cheap shots.
Yeah.
Like with Whitney Houston, she made the joke about Aloha,
right,
about her being, you know, picked up in Honolulu.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Whitney Houston was going to sing a song, she said, and now I'd like to bring out a singer whose favorite group is the Doobies. Here is Whitney Houston. And the problem is that nobody in the crowd was reacting to her gag.
Mm-hmm.
Every time that she tried to tell a joke that, you know, even if a guy like Ray Romano or David Brenner or Kevin James had done it, it would have gotten a polite smattering of some kind of fake laughter.
It's that typical award show comedy, you know, where you're just really kind of brushing the surface.
She's trying to be edgy, and she's just not the right person to be edgy. And frankly, if anybody's going to introduce Kid Rock, I would prefer it be anybody in the world except Rosie O'Donnell.
Absolutely.
You know, that's a marriage that I never want to see again. That's that's a car wreck of the highest magnitude when Rosie O'Donnell comes out and says,
absolutely.
I never even heard of him before, but they tell me he's very popular. I just met him backstage, and he said, yo, my name is Kid Rock. And then, you know, she introduces him, and then there's that awkward moment when Kid Rock
right.
is standing next to Rosie O'Donnell.
Sure, yeah, just not good.
Yuck.
Terrible reviews for her, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, she really got terrible reviews for her performance.
And the Grammys just blow.
Yes.
I mean, the Grammys are very much like the Oscar Awards in that they don't really represent what people really like. And I throw up as my first bit of evidence the fact that Sting won another Grammy last night. Excuse me, but wasn't Sting popular like 10 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. I know you like Sting, Mike. But let's be honest.
I have his album now. I do. It's a brand new day.
Still has a following, but no hits. No.
Yeah, well, yeah. Right. Barry Manilow has a following also.
Right.
Okay. You know what I mean? A lot of Linda Ronstadt has a following.
I'm loopy for the Sting.
I know you. Wow. Yeah.
Like, I mean, to be honest with you,
yeah.
I haven't bought a Sting album, really, in years like everybody else. It's just this one album. I like one song on it, so that's all.
So Sting wins this Grammy.
They made it the theme of Good Morning America, and I really was so. I was so completely depressed, you know. That Brand New Day song, you know, I saw him do it. I guess he did it on Letterman or something like that. And then it becomes the theme of Good Morning America. And I'm like, oh, God, why did I buy that?
So Sting wins this Grammy.
Right.
And I don't even remember who was nominated in this category. I would have rather seen the Backstreet Boys win. I mean, at least teenage girls actually buy their records.
Sure.
So Sting wins, and he gives his acceptance speech, and here's what it is.
Well, this is my 14th Grammy. What do I say? Thank you very much.
That was it?
Yeah.
Right.
Go have some of that, what's the kind of sex he says he has?
Tantric sex.
Go have some tantric sex, Sting. just get out of here, please.
The one from Pop Album, by the way.
I was glad that TLC won. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of TLC.
They look good, too.
Oh, they always look
good. They look really good. They work out good. You know, I mean, they have that muscular look. You know, they really do like that. The one girl, I don't know what her name is, but she had those, you know, I lift weights arms. I love those kind of arms.
They're bad girls. I like that. And then when the Backstreet Boys came out, you know, I don't know when, but very soon we're going to see some kind of a giant meltdown with the Backstreet Boys. Because
right.
I never watched the Backstreet Boys. I hear their songs like everybody does on the radio. But when I watched them last night, and the first thing that clicked was, I never realized how old they were until the stories came out last week that said two of them were getting married.
They're,
right?
They're pushing 30. They're almost 30. Most.
One of them's 28, mm-hmm. and the other one's 24.
Right.
Well, I was watching them last night. I watched the little girls scream and everything when they're singing. I was looking at the guy with the mustache who wears, like, his gangster hat down at a slant angle.
Right.
The guy who likes doing all of the gangster rap stuff with his arms. You know, well, I want it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like as old as we do.
I know.
I mean, I know we're old, but he looked old, very old to be a Backstreet Boy.
That means that 10 years from now, it's even going to be worse. It's going to be much worse if they still want to be the Backstreet Boys. To me, I think it's when you put boys in that name, Backstreet Boys, mm-hmm. same thing with Beach Boys.
How many years when I played records, I always say, it's the Beach Men.
The Beach Men.
You are the Beach Men.
Because it's hysterical when you see Mike Love, you know, come up on stage with his walker, and then they say, oh, here are the Beach Boys.
The Beach Man.
Did you see Letterman last night by any chance?
Taped it, didn't see it.
I have to say, I don't think I've ever laughed out loud as much as I did last night at Letterman. I didn't think that his debut show was good. I think we all agreed on that, but he got another. This heart attack is his comedy lease on life. I'll tell you right now, I was laughing out loud. They did one of those tape things where they had the little vignettes. Rob, you saw it last night?
Great.
Really, I think probably the funniest thing I've seen on Letterman in the last 6 months. It was incredibly funny, and it ends up the funny. And I say the best for last. They do all the vignettes, like they go on the set of NYPD Blue where they're all talking about Dave Letterman. They got all these people to do it, which was great. I mean, it was really
big stars.
The same camera work on NYPD Blue where they go. You know, Dennis Franz is talking to Ricky Schroeder saying, did you hear Letterman went in for a quintuple bypass surgery? Ricky Schroeder goes, they go running out. But the funniest thing at the very end, they're all talking basically about David Letterman. He said, you may have seen in the press how it was covered. And the first thing they start with is a local newscast. As they say, on a lighter note, they say, David had quintuple bypass surgery. And, well, it reminds me of my commute on the freeway. yesterday. That was quite a bypass. Ha, ha, ha. And they cut away. But at the very end...
Was it a serious newscast or a news newscast?
I think it was completely fabricated, which was funny. But they looked like generic anchors, and they're going... They go through all these different people. And at the very end, and I don't know how they got this this done, they show one of these wrestlers. I don't know who the wrestler is, but he's got the hair down to his shoulders and the big, scraggly beard. And he's in an arena, like, for wrestling, and he says, I don't know if you heard, but David Letterman just went into the hospital for quintuple bypass surgery, and I just want to say, get well soon, Dad. It was, you know, I know they'll run out of this thing. It's going to run its course with the bypass, but it was slam dunk funny. It really was.
He will be able to string it out if he stays on the schedule of doing every other night, and tonight is the night that I'm going to stay up and
absolutely
watch.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow is the day. Get set for the entire first part of the show as we dissect word by word, phrase by phrase, verb by verb, noun by noun.
Yes.
Kathy Lee Gifford hosting the David Letterman Show.
I couldn't help but think, as I'm watching that show, which is really one of his best, Julia Roberts came out and he did a thing where he clutched his chest. You know, he's using it to full advantage. When at one point she pulled her, he put his hand on her knee and took it off, and then she slid her skirt back, and all he did was just grab, like, the fist grab on his chest and stop. And, you know, it was funny, but for just one split second.
Oh, my God.
He's locking up. But I couldn't think during the whole thing. I said, man, I mean, tomorrow night, this show is going to be in the hands of Kathy Lee Gifford.
And wait till you hear the lineup she has for the show tonight.
They need help.
Tom Arnold.
Yeah. You're kidding.
No.
Well, it could be the worst show on television.
Tom Arnold and Joy Behar.
Oh, my
God. And Donald Trump.
Oh,
that's her lineup of guests.
She's toast.
Now, originally, when I heard this, I thought, oh, you know what this is? This is Letterman torpedoing her.
This is a gag.
No. These are guests that Kathy C. Gifford requested.
Shows.
Oh. They said to her, who do you want on the show? And she said, Tom Arnold. He's always good. Joy Behar. There's no one better.
Unbelievable.
And, oh, yes, get me the Donald.
Unreal.
Right. It'll be worth watching. We'll dissect it on tomorrow's show.
I mean, this is so far away. This is far away from those Broadway audiences that went out and sat there, you know, and kissed her ass during the whole show.
And one more television, though, got to mention. I did watch the Robbie Knievel jump last night.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
Well, I've got some surprising news that at least from the vantage point that all their cameras were at, after all the talking we did yesterday, it sure did look like he jumped that train
head on. Really?
I mean, the original ramp that he took was at a sideways angle, but then he made a left-hand turn and got on a ramp that went directly over the top of the train.
So maybe he did it at a slight diagonal, but it was pretty damn close to the train.
Yes. He did jump over the train, and I did think for one split second that he wasn't going to make it, because it was that close that the train was really barreling towards this ramp.
Right.
And when they showed the replay, just as his wheels cleared the ramp, the train ran into the ramp and destroyed it.
Well, that's cool. So it was a good spectacle.
It was, well, the thing is, it was a good spectacle for 2 minutes.
Right.
When he actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
The hour leading up to it was bogus. And they had Matt Millen from Fox NFL standing there in khakis and tennis shoes doing the hype and interviewing Robbie Knievel before this.
Robbie Knievel.
It's an hour of crap, and I was also disappointed that they didn't do any simulations like they did on the other one that had the crash test dummy.
That works.
They had computer simulations showing that if Robbie Knievel doesn't get enough speed, see here, he'll run into the train, or if he hits the ramp, or here, see, the train will run into the ramp, and it was all that jive computer animation like you see when you go to DMV to take your driving test.
Right.
But other than that...
And clean landing for Robbie Knievel?
The actual jump?
Yeah,
it was good.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. He ran into the bales of hay, and then he came out, you know, and raised his arms in the air.
What can he do next?
I don't know.
He'll think of something. I mean, who would have thought of going across the train head on?
They did have, besides Matt Miller, they did have that guy we love goofing on, though.
That guy, Mark Thompson.
Mark Thompson.
Tonight, could this be the end? His most dangerous stunt ever. Robbie Knievel. Matt Millen is with Robbie now.
You know, it would have been... now, was that on Fox? Is that what it was
on? Yeah, of course it was on Fox.
You know, if he'd been hit by the train... You know, that would have been pretty much a, you know, altogether bad week for Fox. But I guess the executives wouldn't care if he got, the, you know, if he was hamburger. You know, it'd probably be right. Big ratings.
That'd be fantastic ratings.
But they cut away, of course.
Well, they run it on, I think, what is it, Buzz? Like a one-minute delay or something?
Yes, 1 minute.
When he does that 60-second delay.
What about that? Wouldn't be like that tape we saw of the lady crossing the train tracks.
And you know this about Tom Arnold? You know, a lot of people still think that that's a fake videotape. I think that's 100% real.
I sure think it's real.
You know why Kathy Lee Gifford wants to have Tom Arnold on tonight?
Why?
We have actually turned down the opportunity to interview Tom Arnold because before the Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire show came on,
right.
Tom Arnold announced that he was going to find his next wife on the Internet.
Right.
And he has a website. It's like www.marrytomarnold.com or something.
Unbelievable.
And he's actually claiming that he's going to meet a girl on the Internet and he's going to marry a girl on the Internet.
Who's the Joy Behar?
She's
babe,
a,
who is she?
She's a cow from the View.
The View, the comedian from The View?
Yeah, well, yeah, the so-called comedian.
This show, it's
going to be awful.
It's going to be absolutely the worst thing ever.
I know, I'm going to stay up and watch it.
She's not good when Regis isn't there when they do the interviews.
It's fantastic.
It's going to be incredible.
It's going to be a great show. It'll be real good. One more thing. You know, next month... Actually, not next month, the May issue, but we have to have our pictures into Maxim magazine by the end of this month because in the May issue of Maxim, which will feature Gillian Anderson from The X-Files on the cover,
right.
They're going to print our list of the 100 hottest women of the millennium.
Right. Cool.
And they have asked for a publicity picture,
mm-hmm.
and we told you that we didn't want to send them the awful picture of us that had appeared in the New York Post this week to announce that we were going to be starting in New York.
Because we're going to be rating women. We'd like to have two better-looking individuals.
We wanted to
model types.
Right. You know, fake guys, good-looking guys, preferably guys who are gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I wanted a guy who looked like Hugh Grant.
You kind of got him yesterday. The guy that's a pretty dreamy-looking guy.
I got my Hugh Grant. Not sure about his sexuality. We'll give him a call and find out. And today... Well, this may be the closest we have to Sting, Mike. The letter says, Dear Don and Mike, here are a couple of photos for you to consider for your stand-in doubles for Maxim magazine. I hope I appeared gay enough to you, although I am not gay at all.
Huh.
I do a pretty good gay impression, though. I'm not a professional model, but I've done some amateur photography and nude posing for artists.
Ah, wonderful.
It would be an honor to represent you. And this guy's name is Ty, and... Here is what appears to be a college graduation photo of Ty. You'd like to take a look. And here is now, in a more relaxed setting, Mike, the casual Ty. How would you feel about that guy being you?
A Ty could be me. Yeah, Ty could be me. Are those zits on his chin, though? I'm just trying to...
Well, we can airbrush
any
zits out.
Okay.
If we went with that guy, and then we went with my guy yesterday, I think we'd already have... our models, and all we need to do is get them down here and get a photographer in here and get these dudes to take their shirts off.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we're
photo set. Session.
That would be fine. I'd be happy with that guy being me.
There's no doubt. Both of these guys who sent us the pictures,
they have good looks.
They're better looking than we are.
Yes, they are. I think that would be wonderful. And they're younger, and that would be, I think, terrific.
So we get these two hunky guys to come down and take their shirts off and pose as us.
Absolutely. I think that's a marvelous idea.
And then that will be the picture that we send to Maxim magazine that they run with our list of the 100 hottest women of the millennium.
I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, with the names Don and Mike underneath,
right?
That'd be great.
Oh, man, fantastic. I can't wait. I can't wait.
I got the picture of Mike.
Get the other guy out there?
So, let's put these side by side.
Side by side.
Okay,
very good.
Check them out.
Call them Don and Mike.
Okay. So this guy will be Don. And this guy will be Mike. How funny is that? These two guys back to back?
That is just perfect.
This is a winner.
That is absolutely perfect.
This is a winner. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's, you know what? Real fast before we have to do a break.
All right.
Let's call these guys up.
Excellent. They were the first. They responded quickly.
They did.
First we called Jason.
Okay.
Who is a Hugh Grant lookalike he would like to be me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's gay. He didn't write in his letter about his sexuality.
Didn't say.
Pretty gay looking pictures.
Well, this one of the dog.
Yeah.
Look, he's about ready to mount the dog.
Yeah. And then the one in the middle where he's just looking off into space.
He has his hands folded.
It's a way, incidentally, the next publicity photo we get, we should post like that.
With their hands.
We're just, you know, how about one where, you know, we're standing like
Hi,
in back of each other.
I can't get to the phone right now, so leave a message and we'll call you back.
He's gay. I know it. Great, that's what I wanted. Jason! Hello, it's the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Hi, Jason.
Jason, received your photo. Good news. You are going to be shirtless in Maxim magazine. That's right, Jason.
That's right, Jason. You are going to be Don Geronimo.
Congratulations. Now, Jason, we need to get in touch with you so you can come down for your photo shoot.
Sign about 14, 15 pieces of paper.
Without your shirt on. And please, no dogs in this picture.
That's right.
But, Jason, we'll have this professionally done. I can tell from the layout that you sent me that you are already some kind of a professional model.
That's right.
As you can see from his
portfolio.
Yes, his portfolio.
So funny, though.
Pictures that he sent.
The concept of this, I just cannot wait. I think this is one of the funniest things we ever did. When this thing gets published, I am going to be so proud of this.
So, Jason, congratulations. Please call us back to set up your shooting time. Thank you. And get real buff. Start lifting weights and stuff.
Absolutely. Pump up.
Bye, Jason.
All right, now let's call your guy, Mike.
Okay.
Tie a yellow ribbon. Tie Detmer, tie Babylonia, tie Quando, Tybo.
Ty and Jason. Jason and Ty, these are our guys.
This should be very good.
The male model search is over.
Great.
These two dudes will be in Maxim magazine. And when you hold their pictures up together,
that's the one that's
it's
funny.
A million times funnier, isn't it?
Do they look like a team?
Yes!
They look like twins.
Take a look, Rob. What do you think of them together? Now, which is who?
3625-13.
Yeah.
I'm here to take your phone call right now. Please leave a message after the tone.
This guy's me.
Five, three, okay.
That guy's Mike.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Ty? Hey, Ty.
Ty, it's Don and Mike.
Ty, congratulations. You are going to appear shirtless in the May issue of Maxim magazine. We have selected you, Ty, to play the role of radio's Mike O'Mara. Congratulations, Ty.
You the man, Ty.
You will be teamed with a handsome young fellow named Jason, who will be playing me, Don.
Just get yourself all pumped up. Get yourself really ready to go.
So, Ty, what we're going to need is for you to give us a call back here at the Don and Mike show. I'm sure you have the telephone number. And we're going to have to set up a session time
right. That's
convenient for you and for Jason. We'll do it live on the show.
Very good.
When you guys will come down, take your shirts off.
And we will direct the photo shoot like a couple of gay photo directors.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get some shots of them hugging.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the creativity is important.
You know what we should do? We should really do. So, hold on. Call us. Call us, Ty. Please call us. Congratulations.
Way to go, Ty.
You're going
to
be in. Ty, you're going to be in Maxim magazine.
Very good.
Bye. Congratulations. You know the pose we should do is the pose every time Mike and I have a publicity picture taken. What they want is
want
us back to back
with like our heads against each other, right. Kind of looking back at
with
the camera
with our arms folded, back to back looking at the camera, and we always refuse to. So we say we don't want a picture taken when we're touching.
Sure.
So we should do one like that.
One like that, maybe one cheek to cheek. You know, where they're just looking out like this with their eyebrows up in the air like, ooh.
And how about one where they're hugging?
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. You know, just like
their arms draped over each other's shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Right? If you want an action pose, how about leapfrog?
Yeah, leapfrog.
Oh, cool.
That'd be fantastic. Like
shirtless leapfrog.
With one guy on the other guy's back looking out to the right.
Creepy grin.
Yeah,
I'm liking that.
That's it.
Well, those are our guys.
Without their shirts.
Those are our guys. Jason and Ty. Beautiful male models who will be representing us in the May issue of Maxim magazine.
I seriously, if this goes off without a hitch, I will tell you this right now. I will buy a million copies of that magazine because I'm going to give them away as presents because it's hysterical.
Not only can I promise you it will go off without a hitch, the people from Maxim are aware that we are doing this.
Fantastic.
And they endorse
good.
The idea.
That's it's perfect.
And they are not going to print that it's not really us.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
They're just going to run the photo as is.
Oh, fantastic. They've got a sense of humor.
Whatever you guys want.
They don't care.
Do you think there would be a chance we could get a shot of these guys kissing? Would that be too gay?
Maybe a little too gay.
Yeah.
Maybe just a wee bit
for
too
Maxim.
Gay.
Okay.
But, we don't necessarily have to use the photograph, but I think it should be in there. You know, we should definitely have that as one of our choices.
One that we can send out to people when they think they're calling G. Gordon Liddy and calling
Absolutely.
For a picture all the time.
And then, if we like the picture, picture enough, then we actually just get them all printed up, and anybody, you know, we go out to.
Oh, and listen, when we
go out to appearances, and we'll give those away as our photos.
What do we have to have a press conference in New York?
Yes,
we send those guys out.
Absolutely.
Oh, imagine that.
Fantastic.
They don't say anything. They just go out and they get their pictures taken in front of all the New York paparazzi.
This really could be the Milli Vanilli of radio.
Right.
These guys, fantastic.
These guys are very handsome.
You total imposters.
Excellent.
Very handsome.
They could be our body doubles for anything that we don't want to do.
Right.
In a very non-masculine way.
Absolutely.
Very handsome. So and then, you know,
Jason and Ty.
And after, you know, if we do this and we do send these guys out, we do it a few times, and, you know, then you get that one person who sees us when we're at some function and goes, oh, what happened?
Hey, Robbie, hold on to those, please. Guard those with your life. Robbie, lock those photos between two pillows, please. Beautiful. All right, thank you, guys. We're set for the Maxim shoot. There are the toe-tapping touch tones. Let's start today's show with a caller number 100. Your chance to win up to $10,000 with a secret celebrity laugh.
It's a tough one.
Lie straight ahead. Be the 100th person to call either Erica or Toya.
Yeah.
Two chicks, no waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number is 1-877-365-3636.
Next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
This is TV's Leah Remini. And I just have to say that I enjoy Don's company much better than Charlie's.
Right.
Like a daily 4-hour hot Carl. The Don and Mike Show.
3 weeks from tomorrow.
Yes,
I'll be sleeping in her house.
There you go.
Not that I'm counting.
You got a little calendar, a little special calendar that you brought just to keep track of it?
Well, 3 weeks from tomorrow, we're going out to Los Angeles to play ourselves on the hit CBS show, King of Queens. And, you know, I'm going to be spending one of the two nights we're there.
That's right.
At Leah Remini's house.
It's very exciting.
Uh-huh. Just me and Leah, that pesky Angelo. I'll fix his wagon. I'll pull a Rick Rockhead on him.
After the taping of the show, is that when you're going to do it? You're going to do it?
I'm going to let all the air out of his tires, just like that Rick Rockhead. The thing that Rick Rockwell did to his girlfriend who had to get the restraining order against him.
Absolutely.
Rick Rockwell, incidentally.
Rockwell?
Is one of the people that I'm going to announce we're going to have on the show today, even though I have no idea.
Yeah, if he'll answer his phone or not.
Right. We have his phone number. Uh-huh. And we also have the phone number of his best friend, Barry Colin.
It appears to me that Mr. Rockwell has not seen a microphone that he's not fond of. So let's hope he answers his phone.
True. And I'm going to throw this one out there also. What the heck? We have the phone number. We mentioned him yesterday. Jeff Galooly. Somebody from Portland called in with Jeff Galooly's phone number and said Jeff Galooly listens to the show all the time.
Great. Well, I'm Jeff Galooly and ask him about how he feels about Tanya Harding getting... did she get arrested for that assault?
She was arrested. She was in court today, as a matter of fact.
She beat some guy up with
with a hubcap.
A hubcap from her pickup truck.
There you go.
It is alleged.
Good item for her.
Right. So let me just throw those out right now. Rick Rockhead Rockwell, Barry Colin, Jeff Galooly, the furniture guys, and a mystery guest today.
Very, very exciting.
All of that coming up. I know at least two of the things will really happen. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
It's Terry.
Terry, where are you calling from?
Leesburg, Virginia.
Beautiful, and you're listening on good old WJFK, right?
Yes, sir.
Terry, you have won Playboy magazine, my friend.
Yay!
Call 1-800-500-800 to order a subscription to Playboy. Enjoy your Playboy.
My favorite magazine.
Enjoy your Playboy magazine. Now,
your Playboy with its centerfold.
You know, this is great. I told Tammy the other day, as long as you give away Playboy, why don't we also start giving away cigarettes?
Very good.
She said that there's some kind of law that says you can't give away cigarettes. I could not imagine a better prize package that would appeal to our core listenership than to give away Playboys and cartons of cigarettes.
Cartons. See, that's why you are a marketing genius. Mm-hmm. Anyone could give away packs, but you give away the magazine subscription, not one magazine.
And a carton of unfiltered cigarettes.
That's great.
A carton of unfiltered cigarettes.
That's how you become number one in the ratings.
That's it, absolutely. Hey, thanks for listening. Here's your carton of cigarettes.
So listen, my friend, have you heard Secret Celebrity Laugh number 4?
I sure have.
You have an idea?
Slightly.
Slightly?
Yep.
Hmm. How much to offer this young man?
That pause is, he's waiting for your decision.
Well, I'm sitting out here on the deck smoking, so.
Smoking a cigarette. Yes. Is it unfiltered?
No, it's not.
Okay, let me ask you, how long have you been listening to our show?
Off and on for about 2 years. I used to live in Lynchburg, but I quit my job and moved up here, and I'm unemployed.
The proud 4% rears its ugly head.
Hey, you know, you told me to do it.
The wheels are turning a little bit here, you know, and I bet if you couldn't give away cigarettes, you could certainly give away a make-your-own-cigarette machine at home.
But you, my friend, did I just hear you right? That you actually did as we requested? You used to live in Lynchburg where our show was canceled.
Yes, sir.
So you quit your job and moved here.
Oh, yeah.
Was that the only reason you quit and moved to D.C.?
Well, I met a girl, but...
Oh.
Don and Mike, you're my first love.
There you go.
All right, then you will play for
$2,000.
$2,000! Since you've been listening to us for 2 years, why not? It just seems... So right.
Excellent.
$2,000, that's your cash bonanza. If you can identify this secret celebrity laugh, we wish you Godspeed. Please don't answer until Mike sings like...
The Man.
All the Way Goulet.
There you go.
Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There's the laugh.
It's a stumper, all right.
It's a tough one. Mike, do not hurt yourself
on the counter
by climbing up on top of the console for All the Way to Goulet.
And the odds are in my favor.
Yes!
Huzzah!
Yes!
Oh, yes!
Yeah.
Yes!
Had a fall.
It's a floor show.
All right.
It's a friggin' floor show.
Very good.
Great. For $2,000, who is that?
Eddie Murphy?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, right. Not Ed Murphy, but thank you for your guest. And remember, every guest
is a clue for you.
I love you.
No, love you more. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Okay, well, it's Big Gum Jim's birthday.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Big Gum Jim is how old?
12, 13?
I don't know.
28.
How old is he, Robbie?
28.
28.
His gums are 70, though.
He could be a Backstreet Boy.
Let's bring him Big Gum Jim.
Big Gum Jim is a Backstreet Boy.
You know, he kind of looks like the Backstreet Boy.
He wishes he was a Backstreet Boy.
No, he wishes he was Nicolas Cage, because that's who he thinks he looks like.
Is that a new watch you got for your birthday?
It is not.
Okay, just checking.
Thank you, though.
How are the plans going as you try to negotiate your way to become the new program director of WJFK?
They're going fine until today, I'm sure. Nothing to help my image.
You wouldn't be chewing gum in the studio, would you?
It just fell out of his mouth.
You know,
freshen my breath.
I want to tell you the change in Jim McLaurin. Happy-go-lucky Big Gum Jim.
Yes.
When we had that hypnotist in here a couple weeks ago,
right?
We wanted Jim to be hypnotized because we had him hypnotized one other time and he was such a great subject.
Right. Yes.
You know why I heard why he wouldn't do it?
Why is that?
Not because he's afraid of hypnotism, but because he was afraid that under hypnotism, we would ask him what he really thought of management here.
Oh. And being the politically savvy animal that he is, he didn't want to take any chances whatsoever.
Yeah, because you see, there's an opening here for program director, and Jim wants the
there's
job.
There's no opening.
Oh, there is an opening. Jeremy's not here.
Oh, come on now. You know how it works.
Come on. Jeremy's gone to New York.
You're the acting guy, right? You're supervising the operation while he's gone. You're the heir apparent.
So how you like it,
huh?
Is it all you thought it would be cracked up? Is it all you thought it was cracked up to be?
It's fun and exciting every day.
Yes, you are the prince.
What is the best thing about being the program director of a radio station that requires no program director?
That is the best thing.
That's a good answer. Very good answer.
See, because the program director at this station, unlike the program directors at many stations,
frankly,
is not allowed to tell the disc jockeys what to do, and the station plays no music.
Absolutely. So it's really, it takes care of itself.
You're done.
So that explains how Jeremy Coleman held the job for 8 years.
This is really, I equate this with being a subway driver, like a metro driver.
Back and forth,
it's all computerized, so you sit in the front, and you apply the brakes once in a while, but basically...
Oh, that might even be giving him too much credit.
Like, maybe open the door and then close the door.
Right. Maybe a guy who sits on the assembly line at GM.
Yes.
As the robots are making the cars, and the guy who just has to turn the system off in case one of the robots goes haywire or something.
I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to think right now. Oh, there's Shiloh.
Oh, look at her new nose.
Oh, and new outfit.
Shiloh has her nose fixed. You know, the last time we saw her, she had that Band-Aid on her nose because she had a nose job.
Yes.
Well, Jimmy, the heir apparent, the program director...
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday.
Where's your chair, Jim? Where's your chair to sit in?
Yeah, we got to get Jimmy a chair because Jenna and Shiloh will be doing all kinds of bad... I know, the good news just keeps coming on this show. Well, just a week ago, he thanked all the people in Washington, D.C. for making this the number one overall rated radio show in Washington.
Great ratings for this radio program. Mm.
Then they come in from around the country. We had great ratings in Baltimore, Sacramento. Yesterday we found out we were number one in Greenville, South Carolina.
Very good news.
And today's good bit of rating news comes from Portland, Maine.
Oh, fantastic.
We received this letter from Doug Tribu, who is the program director of WZAN, our station in Portland. Dear Don and Mike, for the first time ever, your show is number one in Portland, Maine.
Oh, man.
The numbers are in for Portland, Maine, and you're on top with a 9.3
share. Oh, man. Man, that is great news.
That makes you guys the number one show in the market. Any and all other formats have been beaten.
Oh, fantastic. Great news for Portland, Maine. Thank you, guys. Get a lot of calls from up there, and, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I'm real psyched about that. That's
fantastic.
Thank you.
That's great. Everybody in Portland, Maine, thank you for listening to the show.
Wow, it just keeps rolling in, doesn't it?
So yesterday we heard from Greenville, today from Portland.
Good.
Sign on in New York City next week.
All right.
Very exciting time to be alive.
Absolutely.
Mike, you know, for a long time, Gary Shandling,
yes,
has been talking about this movie that he wanted to make, about a guy from another planet.
Right.
And every time I've read about it or I've heard him talk about it, I've thought, that is the goddamnest, dumbest idea I've ever heard for a movie.
This is Annette Bening who's in this, right?
Yes.
Right.
Until I saw some ads and I saw Gary Shandling on the Today Show this morning.
Right.
When he reminded me how funny Gary Shandling truly is. Not Larry Sanders,
right,
but Gary Shandling.
Yeah, he had a great show before Larry Sanders.
Mm-hmm. And then when he set up the premise for the movie and showed the clip, I'm ready to buy into it now.
And Annette Bening, I love her. I mean, like anything she's in, she's a great actress.
Well,
I mean, she is. She's
if you're into gums.
You don't like her?
No, I told you all along, she's got the horse mouth of horse. She has the horse mouth of all horse mouths.
She was great in American Beauty. I think she deserves the Oscar nomination for that.
She was adequate.
If you don't like somebody, you don't like somebody.
I don't like her. She has a career because she's Warren Beatty's wife.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, more power to her.
I just think she's a good foil for a comedian who's an actor. I think that would work really well.
But the clips from the movie...
They look good?
It looks funny. The premise is that Gary Shandling is an alien, and his job is to come to Earth... to knock up a girl.
Right. That's his job.
And as soon as he knocks her up, he doesn't want anything to do with her.
Oh, right, okay.
And because he's an alien, he does whatever she says. Like, they're sitting on the couch, and he's watching TV. This is after he's already gotten her pregnant. And she says, "You haven't touched me in weeks." And he goes, "Yeah." And she says, "Talk to me." So he mutes the TV. She picks up the remote, and she throws it against the wall. And she goes, "Talk to me! You have to talk to me!" And he says, "About what?" She says, "You haven't touched me in weeks." And he just stares at her. And then she says, "Well, why don't you just go buy a new remote then? Go!" So he gets up and he goes and he leaves and he buys the remote. And so Katie Couric says, why does he get up and leave? He said, because he's an alien.
And he was told to go and get a remote.
Because he was told to go get the remote.
And do you think it has potential?
I think it does. After years of saying that I didn't think it was a funny idea, I'm ready to jump on board and say it looks like a funny idea for a movie.
And it proves that all those years of sucking up to Warren Beatty worked. You know, that he's able not only to be a bit part in another Warren Beatty movie.
Yes, he was, right.
But now he's got his own movie.
Right.
It's called What Planet Are You From? And I think he helped write it, as a matter of fact.
No, it's been a dream of his. It's been... something that he's been brewing in his head ever since the Larry Sanders Show.
Right. Isn't the buzz on that? Excuse me, buzz. Sure. Isn't it really good? I mean, this movie's supposed to be very good. That it's supposed to be getting some decent word on the street.
I don't know. They have a preview this weekend. Next break for the furniture guys, Charlie. Okay.
Right.
Next break with the furniture guys. And then we'll talk more about the Gary Shandling, Larry Sanders movie.
Very good.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Caller 100 time. Hello.
How are you?
Hey, great, thank you. Who's this?
It's Sean.
Sean, where are you from?
Wichita.
Sean, Wichita. We're coming to Wichita.
I know, I'm ready.
March 17. See you there.
You will.
Sean.
Yes.
Sean, come on, you're on the radio playing a contest.
Well, all right.
Sean?
I'm excited, a little nervous.
Are you nervous? It's always the nerves. You know, if you tell us you're nervous, that's okay. We understand.
All right, Sean, you won Playboy magazine.
Okay.
I only wish I could give you a carton of non-filtered cigarettes also.
I'll tell you, Sean, when you're nervous, the best thing to do is to be foolish and obnoxious.
Call 1-800-500-8800 to order a subscription to Playboy magazine. Sean, have you heard the secret celebrity laugh?
Yes, I have.
It's worth up to $10,000.
All right, I'm ready for it.
I was ready to offer $10,000, but I'm going to pay you based on the personality you've displayed in this phone call. You will be playing for $740.
Oh!
All right.
$740.
I'm excited.
One of the chintziest payouts we've ever had in this contest.
All right.
740.
That is. It's a very low payoff.
Mm-hmm. Three digits. But you'll win it if you identify this secret celebrity laugh. Please don't answer until Mike does Goulet All the Way.
Yes, singing like Cats in the movie, you know, the Broadway show.
Got you. And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this secret celebrity laugh.
There's the laugh. And you were playing for $740, just the first odd figure that flew into my mind.
For him, my fever, yeah.
Sorry. Oh.
Like the original. I know, you like Shake and Bake every night. I'll give it to you that way next time.
I like the original.
No problem.
Like, you know, just like the thing on the table, arms out.
I understand.
And we are.
Next time, you get the full, over-the-top Goulet.
Thank you.
I promise you.
Thank you. Hey, listen, who is that?
I'm going to say Ted Danson.
No.
Oh, we're sorry, Danson.
No, but that $740 goes back in the hopper.
Yay!
And remember that every guest is a clue for you.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. See you in Wichita. We will be there on March 17th.
Very good.
It goes back in the hopper.
Hopper!
Okay, we just have to mention this very briefly.
Okay.
The Washington Post is the most effed up newspaper when it comes to covering radio events.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Everybody knows we've been on a bit of a rag against the Post in the last month or so.
Right. Obviously, at one newspaper, a huge newspaper that's known nationally all over the world, you can get one guy who has a personal axe to grind, and he can be responsible for basically ignoring the biggest radio story in Washington for the week, mm-hmm. but paying attention to what he feels is important.
So let's look at the events that have happened this week.
All right.
Well, we were number one in the ratings. He virtually ignored that, downplayed that.
Totally downplayed it.
We had that Paul Walton guy on the show. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a newsmaker segment.
Absolutely. It's been on, you know, he's been on national news all over the country.
Right. Nothing, nothing.
Nothing.
We announced that we're going on in New York City, the nation's biggest media outlet next week.
Right.
Nothing. But a disc jockey who got fired a year ago,
mm-hmm.
who is now hit rock bottom
right.
to the point where he has to take a job in St. Croix,
right.
he rates an article and a picture in today's Washington Post.
And within that article, he really misrepresents the disc jockey's track record.
Yeah, just got to follow up on this. The Grease Man, you know, he made the awful racial remarks
right.
a year ago.
They right. fired him.
The guy shot himself in the head, on the radio.
Figuratively.
Made these awful comments, got fired, can't find a job in radio to save his life. So, he's working at a 6,000-watt radio station in St. Croix in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
He's going to the Virgin Islands.
Now this,
when in doubt, go to the Caribbean.
Right. This is funny.
Right.
This is funny. I mean, this is a guy who has really, he's below the bottom. He's now looking up at the bottom of the radio life.
Absolutely.
But rather than paint this in the proper light,
mm-hmm.
I say this is a pathetic story about a guy who made, it says in the newspaper, $1 million a year
mm-hmm.
and lost this job and is now hit to such a rock bottom point that he'll be working at a station in St. Croix.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than do that, the guy gets this headline, Grease Man Heads for the Tropics. Okay? Like, this is a cherry gig.
Like he's won something.
This is a big cherry gig yeah. that any of us would cut our left nut off to get.
Right.
Oh, you know what? I'm glad to be in D.C. I'm glad to be syndicated. I'm glad to go on in New York. But, man, I'd trade it all for the gig at that 6,000-watt station in St. Croix. That's the cherry gig to have.
They, I don't know where it comes from, man. It's amazing. It's absolutely dumbfounded.
Frank Ahearns does write this in today's Washington Post. A job in the Virgin Islands is a major step down for the nationally known DJ. All right, now that part is true. It's a step down. I don't know if Greaseman is a nationally known DJ.
No, I don't believe he is.
But it's a step down. And then you get to the bull-ass part. Who, during his 12 years at DC 101, was consistently the Washington area's most popular morning drive host. That is BS. Total crap. From the years 1985 to 1991, Mike and I did a morning show.
That's right.
On WAVA Power 105. I went through today because I keep such records.
Right.
The ratings come out four times a year. In between 1985 and 1991, there were 30 ratings books released.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 30 times, between us and the Grease Man, we were number one 28 times, mm-hmm. and he beat us twice.
Right.
Twice in 30 ratings books,
mm-hmm.
the guy beat us. I mean, I'm not talking about overall ratings, because we had some ratings books where we were number one in the market, some yep. ratings books where we were third, some we were second, some we were fourth.
Right.
But strictly, us against the Grease Man.
Us right. against him. This is very, very important. If you're saying, during his 12 years at DC 101, was consistently the most popular morning drive host, the Washington, it's not true. And hey, shocker, who was the most consistent?
We were. Right. Now again, I'm sure Frank Ahearns could qualify this. He could yep. say, well, among men aged 18 to 34, mm-hmm. among, you know, guys with a scar over their left eye. But right. when you make a blanket statement like the area's most popular morning drive host, mm. you can only be referring to the overall ratings.
Right. right.
And the fact is, 28 out of 30 ratings books,
mm-hmm.
we beat this guy like a drum.
Yeah, we beat him one-on-one, head-to-head.
We beat him like a friggin' drum. But there's no mention of that.
And it's just frustrating that, once again, you know, it just sucks that this guy is the radio reporter for the Washington Post, and he's able to get away with this crap.
I mentioned to my wife when I was reading this morning, I was obsessing about this article. I said, well, you know what? Last week, when Frank Ahearns wrote about Jim London, who used to be a morning disc jockey who now does a midday show on the country station, he wrote that Jim London had been number one for 13 years in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, another just gross misrepresentation of the facts.
So we're seeing a pattern here, and what the pattern is that everybody else mm-hmm. was wonderful and had great and consistent and the best ratings, except for the people who really had them.
Right. And then he goes on to write, from 1997 until his firing last year, Trax ratings at Classic Rock 94.7 were solid, if unspectacular.
What does that mean?
Okay, well, I looked it up.
Right.
Out of 25 stations in the morning, he was ranked 19th.
Right.
Is that solid?
That is not solid.
No.
No. But that sucks.
Right.
That's awful. Just write the truth. Write the friggin' truth. The guy can't get a job to save his life. He's taking a job in the Virgin Islands, which is a joke.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't number one for 12 years in a row, and his ratings when he got fired were not solid. They were unspectacular. They sucked. Just the truth. That's all. Just the truth.
It's amazing.
That's all. Grease Man heads for the tropics. Please, I want to tell you something. Everybody in the radio business today, they're laughing their asses off at this.
Of course.
This is a guy who had a good reputation in the industry. He was thought to be a talented guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like him or hate him, you thought he had some talent. Right? The guy could command $1 million a year from CBS. But look at him now. A 6,000-watt radio station in St. Croix. And he's working without a contract.
Yeah, but they're giving him an efficiency.
Although he will have some perks.
Like it.
Neither Keys nor Tract would talk about the DJ salary.
Mm-hmm.
Though Keys added there would be some perks, such as free lodging. That's the key to what a cherry gig this really is.
Right. Absolutely.
He's working at a 6,000-watt radio station in St. Croix, and he's getting a free room.
Absolutely. You know, you got to figure. Here's the deal: you're paid depending on how many people you can bring to the listenership.
Right.
That's how you get paid in this business. So, I mean, let's just do the math. How much can they pay this guy? He's going to an island, you know, and actually one of the less populated of the Virgin
right.
Islands.
So, this is twofold against the Washington Post. First, the fact that again, I've got to think that the fact that this show is going to New York next week is a bigger story than the fact that the Grease Man is working in the Virgin Islands.
I would think so.
We lost out there.
You would think.
Second, how about just a smidgen of the truth, Frank Ahearns? Just try it on for size. Just a smidgen of the truth. And you know what? You bald-headed bastard. Wouldn't you love the chance to shove it down my throat? Why don't you go on back and do some research? Go back and look at the Arbitron ratings books.
Yeah, go ahead.
From 1985 till 1991.
That's a great idea.
When we competed with the Grease Man and Howard Stern mm-hmm. and with Hardin and Weaver
right.
and with the multitude of morning shows on Q107,
mm-hmm.
why don't you go back and research?
Take a look at it.
You know, the only guys that ever beat us were those dead guys, Hardin and Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only guys that ever beat us.
That's it.
I'm not making this crap up. This is stuff that's documented. Frank. Frank Ahearns. Frank A-hole Hearns. But no, Grease Man heads for the tropics.
Right.
Wow, I wish I could switch places with him. Boy, is he lucky.
And still, of course, no mention of the fact that this show is going to be on next week in New York City.
Right.
No mention at all.
The nation's biggest market.
Right.
With 15 million listeners.
Mm-hmm.
No mention. How many people live in the Virgin Islands? 40?
Right.
Maybe 50, maybe 100 tops. Doing a show for 100 people on a 6,000-watt radio station.
Hey, I'm doing my morning show in the Caribbean.
But that apparently is enough to get an article with a picture.
Of course.
And a byline and a headline in today's style section of the Washington Post.
Very good. Very
the great
clever.
Double standard continues.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. continues, and we're going to let you know every time it does,
good.
Because that's the only way you're going to find out. And it's crap, and, you know, talk to this guy again. Next time he has his little chat group, you know, let him know. You're doing a great job of that, folks, and we appreciate that.
But this is funny. I mean, when you get past the stuff with the guy from the Post screwed everything up. This is funny. Hey, good morning, Virgin Islands. Good morning. 3 minutes after 6 o'clock. Can you imagine dragging your ass out of bed? The second day when you realized, oh, a year ago, I made $1 million and had a mansion in Potomac. And now I'm in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it's a long boat ride for the good ship Grease.
Oh, and the other thing that will help him out in this gig?
Yes.
The Grease Man is fluent in Spanish.
Very good.
Ah.
Bueno. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see a test of that, to be perfectly honest.
Well, that was one of the big selling points, I guess. This is mentioned in this fantastic article.
Right.
The DJ is fluent in Spanish.
Very good.
Another bonus, cherry gig.
Absolutely. AMF. Wow.
I think by the third day he wakes up and he wants to kill himself.
What did I do?
Maybe he's living on a boat.
Maybe, I bet he's living on a boat.
Maybe he's not even living like in an efficiency. Maybe it's just a boat. Just a floating boat.
Let's get it right, Frank. Get it right.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that he gets this treatment because Grease Man calls this guy.
Sure, absolutely.
He says, hey, Frank, you're my butt buddy. Guess what? I got a great new gig.
Right.
And we refuse to play that game with this guy. Just report the facts as they are.
Yeah, just, I mean, do that. That's all we ask. And please, no personal contact.
And I don't think that Grease Man was consistently the Washington area's most popular morning drive show host.
No, not at all.
No. If you would like to dispute that, Frank, be my guest.
Absolutely.
Take me on. Wouldn't you love to be able to shove these words down my throat?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. Because I've got the numbers.
Right.
The truth is on our side. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit of the truth out there.
And that's really...
That's all.
And that's when we're going to let you know, too. When it's just the wrong information that he's sharing with you, like he knows... And, you know, when he goes back that far, and he doesn't go back and do any research on that.
No, this is because the Grease Man has his head up Frank Ahearn's ass.
Right, exactly.
You know, Frank goes, hey, this feels pretty good. I'm going to write a nice article about you heading for the tropics.
Right. Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
Okay, all right. Enough of that.
That's it.
Tell the furniture. See if the furniture guys can hold on 1 second.
All right.
Because before we get to the furniture guys, I'd like to try to call Rick Rockwell, the Marry a Millionaire guy.
Very good.
We do have his phone number.
Good.
And we also have the phone number of his best friend, Barry Colon.
Barry Colon.
Hey, Robbie, see if the furniture guys can wait one break.
All right.
Okay? Because I'd hate to bring the furniture guys in here and rush them.
Yes.
And they got here early today anyway.
They did.
They got here plenty early, like 15 minutes before the segment.
They bring in furniture with them?
No. They just came walking in.
Oh, okay.
Just the furniture guys.
They're like coming in with a cabinet or something, show us how to refinish it?
The one guy looks like, who's that kooky film critic on the Today Show? Avery Schreiber.
Gene Shalit.
Oh, yeah, or Avery Schreiber.
Right, Avery Schreiber's the other guy that looks like that. And, you know, a little bit like the guy that's on, what the hell, the Hollywood Squares, the new guy that writes...
the guy who writes jokes for Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, he's more of a dead ringer for him. Yes, Robbie.
His name is Bruce Palanch. They can wait.
Okay, good.
Very good. Nice guys. We like their show.
Then we'll do a break. We'll take care of this other stuff. We'll tidy up this mess, and we'll come back. And with the furniture guys, be right back.
This is the Dawn and Pork. They like to eat it and love to do it. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I rewatched that Sopranos last night, the one from Sunday night.
You know, it's a good show when you can enjoy it the same week.
Yeah.
You know, that's great.
It's like corn.
Right.
Enjoy it a second time.
Absolutely. Right away, right after you've eaten it.
It's good. It was a good one. I love Frank Sinatra Jr. Yeah. playing at the executive card game.
Yeah, that is somebody I could see again on that show. Just and only like that. You know, where he's sitting around the card table. Oh, thank you, Tony.
And then I watched it. When I watched it the second time, I was noticing. I knew the first time that the guy who lost all the money at the cards was the cop from Terminator.
Right, everybody knows that face.
Yeah, but I watched him more directly last night. When I watched the show recently Sunday night, I thought, oh, that's the Terminator guy. Mm-hmm. And I never noticed. He did a good job on that Sopranos show.
Oh, he did a fantastic job.
Because, you know, when he was the Terminator guy, all he did was keep the straight face and say,
yeah.
you know, I'm here to find the little boy. Where's he at?
Yeah, he did a great job.
And I love the Tony Soprano, as the year has gone on, has become more violent.
Yes.
I love that. I love when he went into the guy's office, the guy at the sporting goods store.
Stand up.
And just started stand up. Just beating the crap out of him.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the guy, Tony.
I'm going to send my guy here every Saturday. And you're going to pay 5% on top of that.
That's good. You have a similar vocal register to Tony Soprano. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Thank you.
But if you get, I'm trying to think what's... There is, just say it like he would, there is no mafia.
There is no mafia.
Add it to the list.
My list of impressions was Tony Soprano and the Pope.
There you go.
Thank you. All right, listen, Rick Rockwell, you know the dink from Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire.
Right.
We have a phone number. We don't know if it's real or not, but we are going to try it now.
Rick Rockwell. It's a cartoon character.
Guy's been all over the friggin' TV.
Let's see what's going on. Let's see if we can talk to the guy.
I saw him on Good Morning America today. It was obviously something that was taped, so perhaps he's back at home now.
Let's find out.
With his side of the story.
Very good. Or he could be somewhere else.
Maybe he's out sitting on one of his broken toilets behind his home.
It's a 1,200-square-foot house. On three rings, he could get there. He could get there from one end of the estate.
Yeah.
Okay.
888. I'm sorry to miss your call.
His mother?
Please leave your name and number after the tone, and we will call you back as soon as possible.
Maybe I misdialed.
Yeah. Try it again. That would, if that is the number, then it's probably, you know, who knows? I just know this guy would have his own. Oh.
That must be it.
Interesting.
That must be the number we had.
Rockwell?
That number, perhaps, not good.
Yeah, because don't you think he's the kind of guy, more than anybody, that would leave his own message, you know?
Hi, it's Jeff.
Hi, this is Rick Rockwell. I'm out in the backyard.
Sorry, what did I say, Jeff? I was looking ahead to the next name.
This is Rick Rockwell. I'm out in the backyard snatching flies out of the air.
And, you know, we've had no response from the anonymous email that we sent from our fake AOL account to Rick Rockwell at his email address. We've had no response yet.
Right.
All right, let's try the next name on our celebrity bad boy list. Jeff Galooly.
Jeff Galooly, who you said you had the heads up that he listens to this show.
Well,
out in Oregon?
Somebody from Portland called. He said Jeff Galooly listens.
Find out what he's up to.
Here's his phone number.
Former acquaintance of Tonya Harding, who's been on the news.
Great. She's a real world-class bim.
And she's, you know, once again,
she's
tough.
She's tough. She's violent. She could hurt you.
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Buzz?
No, not so much.
Jeff?
Thank you for calling the Goose and Maid Dental. If you know your party's extension,
it's a temple.
Dial it now.
I don't think he's living
if
there.
If you do not know your party's extension, please dial 1 for our company directory.
I don't think he's Jewish, if that's a temple, like a regular temple.
What the hell? I really don't know what's going on. We have two wrong numbers here.
Goose and Maid Dental is still on. May I help you?
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you.
Dave Letterman.
I'm quitting my TV show.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen. Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. Listen, you've never been funnier than you've been this morning. Either that or I'm all goofy on Pop-Tarts.
Hey, how you feeling after your heart surgery and everything?
You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, pal? You know what? Your brand of comedy reminds me of my mom's mashed potatoes. Yeah. Lumpy and tasteless.
You think this guy really thinks you're talking to Letterman?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll wait for him to say something.
Very good.
Until I play the next tape.
He can't hear us right now. He's staying on the line.
We have dialed a wrong number looking for Jeff Galooly. We got some kind of temple.
Well, that's it. He's gone.
And he's gone. Gone.
Let's call him back.
Very good.
First one says, hey, it's your old pal Dave. And then you hear the guy going, hey, David Letterman.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Dave.
Well, we got burned on both of these phone numbers then. They're both incorrect. No Jeff Galooly, no Rick Rockhead.
Nope, not at all.
Well, we'll let him in on the gag this time.
Thank you for calling the Goose and Maid Dental. If you know your party's extension,
we might have been talking to a rabbi.
I want everybody to know. Man of the cloth. For our company directory.
Company. Oh, company. Maybe it's a...
I think he said dental.
Not temple?
No, dental.
Goose and Maid Dental. It's Bill. How may I help you?
Oh, it's dental.
Hey, it's me, Dave.
Yeah.
I've been doing some early Christmas shopping, and I came across a gift that would be perfect for the people who listen to your show. Earplugs. Oh, man. You know, sometimes I'm just so funny, I crack myself up.
No time to explain.
I'll try him one more time.
Here I was thinking it was a temple.
I thought it was, too.
Sorry about that.
You don't think Galooly works in a dental office, do you?
Or
a dental
company?
There might be a chance he does, if it's a dental office.
Well, this says home, though.
Oh.
Now, if he's working in this office, boy, we certainly established our credibility.
He said hello to Letterman again, though.
Yeah, he did.
Hey, it's Dave. Hi.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Thank you for calling Goose and Maid Dental. If you know your party's extension,
dental.
Please dial it now.
Dental.
If you do not
know your
party's extension, please dial 1 for our company directory.
Well, I'm sure they have some Jewish dentists there.
Oh, sure. Yeah, but it wasn't a temple, and I was hoping it might be a rabbi.
He didn't pick up now.
But hey, it's a good chance to listen to some of this lounge piano music. Here we go. Hello?
Hi, this is Debbie.
Debbie, hello. This is the Don and Mike radio show. We're on the radio right now.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Hi, we're great. We just called a couple of minutes ago and spoke to a guy. Well, we didn't speak to him. We played our David Letterman tapes.
And that might have confused him, so we wanted to clear that up.
Would you put him on the phone and tell him Dave Letterman's on? Tell him Dave Letterman's on the phone for him.
Yeah, we were having fun with him, and then we'll explain it to him.
Yeah, but this is a business.
Oh, yeah.
Right, well, I understand. Well, so is this. It's show business.
It's show business. We're entertaining millions now. Are you,
What radio station are you calling from?
What's the one out in Portland?
KGUY. Stop me. I know you've never heard of it before.
No, because of where you're calling, but...
Does Jeff Galooly work at this dental company?
No.
Hmm. Am I calling Portland, Oregon?
No, you're not.
Oh, really?
Well, where am I calling?
Connecticut.
Connecticut?
Oh, Connecticut. What town in Connecticut?
I'm sorry, I really have to hang up.
Just tell us what town we're calling, because I'm from Connecticut.
Stamford?
Stamford, okay.
I can't believe we pulled this giant boner.
Oh, Stamford's down near New York.
We're sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Bye-bye.
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 You can't be more wrong than we just were.
Jeff Galooly, living at his house at a dental company in Stamford, Connecticut.
I have a voicemail number for Jeff Galooly.
It's Stamford.
Right.
Not Stanford. Like school Stamford.
She was very busy.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. That other guy wasn't too busy.
Thank you for calling to Goose and Maid Dental. If you know your party's extension, dial it now.
Hey, there's one of the furniture guys outside the studio.
Like they're wondering how come they're not in here yet.
You guys want to come in?
Hi. Because he shooting himself. What is he doing?
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Oh, no, the furniture guy just pulled up his shirt.
He's showing his big belly. All right, Rob, tell him we'll bring him right in.
They're coming in.
Tell him we'll bring him right in. Next break.
Right, absolutely.
Next break.
He's doing a...
Hey, you know what? He's doing a Midnight Express on the window
all
here.
All right, enough with this Galooly and Rick Rockhead thing. Let's do a break, and we'll come back, and we'll meet the furniture guys, who I do love.
Right.
Ed the fat guy and Joe... the not fat guy, who I
think is probably not very bright.
We will bring the furniture guys from the Learning Channel in here next.
This is the Don and Mike.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
Having a beer, listening to the Don and Mike show. True, true.
What's up? Listen, gotta make another thank you. All we've been doing lately is thanking people for great ratings.
All right.
D.C., yep. Baltimore, Portland, Greenville. And now the news comes in from Sacramento.
The big sack.
We just got this missive from Mike Remy, the program director at our station out there, KHTK.
Yes.
Dear Don and Mike, we've just broken down the ratings hour by hour. Congratulations for more number one ratings.
Yay!
Good luck in New York. Let's get a date together for another Sacramento show this summer.
Ooh. Fantastic.
And he sent along... You know, they have a hard time breaking down the ratings in Sacramento because the
we don't fit into the regular normal slot
time period. The time slots are like 6 to 10, 10 to 3, 3 to 7, 7 to midnight. And we're on... noon to 4.
So they have to break it out for the individual hours to make sense of it.
So it takes a longer time to get the ratings. So all they've got right now, and I guess we had a great book. Thank you to our listeners. Among men 25 to 54 from noon to 4, which is when our show is on,
mm-hmm.
we're number one rated with a 12.3 share.
Way to go, men.
And among adults, men and women 25 to 54, which is the demographic that everybody cares about,
right.
again, our listeners have rewarded us with number one ratings and yes. a 7.1 share.
That's great news.
Beautiful.
That's great. It's great to be consistent in Sacramento. Beautiful. We've been on there for a good long time.
Thank you for listening on KHTK, home of the Sacramento Kings.
Okay. We're big Kings fans.
Some of some great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you for those ratings. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Please, turn it down, honey.
It's down.
Beautiful. What's your name?
My name is Ellen.
Ellen, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Damascus, Maryland.
Ellen, you are the 100th caller.
Excellent.
So, Ellen, you have one. Oh, get ready, Ellen. Playboy magazine.
Playboy, Ellen.
Fantastic.
That's right, Ellen. You won Playboy. Call 1-800-500-8800. That is a tricky phone number. 1-800-500. What if they just make it like 1-800-POONTANG? Why is it 1-800-500-8800?
That's tough.
To what? Order a subscription to Playboy magazine.
Uh-huh. What if you use an O-O?
O-O?
So if you said 1-800-O
or 1-800-5-O-O.
8-8-O-O.
Listen, you win the Playboy. Congratulations. Now... you're going to play for big money.
Okay.
Secret Celebrity Laugh. Have you heard the Celebrity Laugh before?
I believe I have.
Mm. You have an idea?
I have a pretty good idea, I think.
Mm. Let me ask some questions.
Okay.
Are you married?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
How many guys have you had sex with?
Eight.
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 How many did you enjoy?
I should probably just say one, just in case my boyfriend's listening.
One.
Would that be true?
Give me the real answer. Out of the eight guys you've had sex with, how many did you really enjoy?
Really, really enjoy. You know, how many were you know, really pleasurable, and how many do you think, well, huh?
I'll go with two were very, very enjoyable.
Okay. Then you'll play for
$2,000.
$2,000. Oh, man.
$2,000.
Right. Just said eight.
She said all eight. That's the way it works.
Shut up, bud. You walked right into it, honey.
Sorry.
$2,000, that's the bonus this time. If you get the Secret Celebrity Laugh, please don't answer until Mike does.
The old traditional.
Over-the-top goulet.
Absolutely.
Love that. We wish you...
Godspeed. Caller, name this Secret Celebrity Laugh.
There's the laugh. I'll tell you right now, it's not Ed, and it's not Joe, the furniture guys.
Right.
But if you get it, it's worth $2,000. Now, get ready for a show.
And the odds are in my...
yes,
You can make fun of me and say that I like shake and bake every night, but I know what I like and I know what's good.
That's what I will do every time.
That goulet cake.
Yeah, thank you.
For $2,000. Who is that?
Is it Woody Harrelson?
Been guest before.
Oh, man.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, baby.
Thank you.
Remember, every guest is a clue for you. Unless it's been guest already. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hold on, please. All right, now, just ahead of Buzz.
Yes.
And the news of the comments.
Uh-huh.
Want to get in a quick plug for tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, we're going to be saddled with Bill Walton.
Hi, I told you later. Hi, Don.
Bill Walton from NBA and NBC.
You know However, what? You've said that before, and he's been a good guest before. I'm just telling you what I remember.
Just to make sure it's a pleasurable experience,
right.
We're going to get a sex quiz for Bill Walton to take tomorrow.
Excellent. Great. Big, tall man. Find out what his sex habits are.
Also tomorrow, Chuck Stossel, the love muscle, a brand new low-budget Jeff R.D., and we will have a complete recap of the Kathy Lee hosting David Letterman show, which happens tonight.
Oh, train wreck time.
Plus, tomorrow, going to need some help because I have that stock market fantasy draft coming this weekend.
Okay, very good.
And I have no idea what stocks to pick. All of that
I can help you with. I know a little bit about the stock market.
Coming tomorrow.
I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Next week, we go on the air in New York City on WNEW-FM. And when we finally hit New York, that's when the gaggle of guests just forget about it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's Carson Daly and Jim Nance and Jerry Stiller and, you know, all the big names come out when we go on to New York.
Very, very exciting.
So all that is next week on the show. Now, we got a press release last week from a psychiatrist in Los Angeles who was hired to interview the millionaire before the show taped Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire.
Okay.
Dr. Mark Golston said, even though the brides signed a prenup agreement, the maybe brides signed a prenup, he suggested that the multimillionaire, Rick Rockhead, ask each potential bride, how would you prove you're not marrying me for my money?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't remember if that question was asked or not on the show Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire, but what's important is that this guy, this psychiatrist, was hired to interview Rick Rockwell. After interviewing him,
right,
he set out in a press release that he thinks the marriage has at least a 50% chance of surviving.
Well, we'll find out what that prediction means now.
And, of course, the marriage lasted, I believe, 6 days.
And we'll also ask him, you know, what he really thinks now that it's all the facts are in.
And now that he knows about Rick Rockwell.
50-50, way to go out on the line.
You've reached the office of Dr. Mark Golston and the Golston Group. If you want to bypass the rest of this message, press the pound key at any time.
Oh, it's a message.
Oh,
where's Dave?
Hold on, let me call back.
Okay.
No, don't get the Dave tape ready yet.
Okay.
Maybe they said how to get a hold of him.
I'm sorry. It was so much fun the last time I got it.
I don't think we're going to get anybody that did it like that guy at the dental office.
Mark Golston and the Golston Group. If you want to bypass the rest of this message, press the pound key at any time and leave your message.
No.
If it is urgent to reach me, you may do so by hanging up and dialing 310-301-2703 and ask that I be paged. If you would like to send me a fax, you may do so by dialing 310-998.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah, go into real estate.
Oh, man.
To review your entire message, press 77.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah. Going to real estate.
They have add-on
to your
I got you.
To review your entire message, press 77. To send your message, press pound. To specify urgent priority, press 4. To cancel your message, press star.
Oh, bummer.
I'll just send another one.
Message marked urgent. To review your entire message, press 77. To send your message, press pound. Message sent. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye. All right, hold on a second.
Goodbye.
Same lady that says goodbye a lot. Is that the same lady that says goodbye on computers?
It seems like it.
Goodbye.
It's so cold. I like my AOL goodbye voice.
Hello, you've reached the office of Dr. Mark Golston and the Golston.
What is your AOL voice?
Bypass the rest.
It's a man.
Message.
Goodbye.
At any time and leave your message.
Bill Walton.
it's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night. So I see you'll be here Sunday, the 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th. Because I have to leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow. But I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
I'm leaving fake messages.
It is indeed.
View your entire message. Press 77.
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night.
Message marked urgent. To review your...
I see you'll be here Sunday.
Urgent priority removed. To review your... Message marked urgent. To review your entire message,
no,
press 77. To send your message, press pound. Message sent.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, hold on one more.
Goodbye.
You always have... These things always have to go in threes, ladies and gentlemen. It has to be a Dave Letterman, Dick Van Patten, somebody's a surprise trifecta.
Hello, you've reached the office of Dr. Mark Goulston and the Goulston...
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting into town probably about noon, and I'll be over in that area around 2. So we can work that out. That'd be great. And then we can talk to Don about his singing ability or lack thereof, and we can figure that one out, too. I'll give you a call tomorrow during business hours and try to hook this thing up. Thanks. Bye.
To review your entire message, press 77.
Yeah, hey, Rob, this is Rob. Rob Grill with the Grassroots. I got your message, and I'd love to come in the studio that day. I'm getting...
Message marked urgent. To review your entire message, press 77.
Just send
to send
it.
Your message, press pound. Message sent. Goodbye.
Serve this guy right to send us a press release.
He'll be in the office tomorrow saying, I got a message from David Letterman, Dick Van Patten, and Rob Grill, the lead singer of the Grassroots. What the hell's going on?
Hello, you've reached the office of Dr. Mark Goulston and the Goulston Group. If you want to bypass the...
Rob, this is Leon Jean. With you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame, please destroy my phone number. I'm kind of serious about this, you know. I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again...
To review your entire message, press 77.
Rob, this is Leon Jean. With you and your two buddies...
Message marked urgent. To review your entire message sent. Goodbye.
Okay. Oh, my God. All right, now I'm starting to run out.
Oh, my God.
This one's going to be a very quick one.
Okay.
Very quick message.
Hello, you've reached the office of Dr. Mark Goulston and the Goulston.
This is Sam Huff.
Your recording is too short.
Oh.
Recording only.
This is Sam Huff.
Sam Huff with Frankenstein.
So that one I want to hear. This is Sam Huff.
To review your entire message, press 77.
This is Sam Huff. This is Sam Huff.
To review your entire message, press 7. Message marked urgent. To review your message
by heart
sent.
Now.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Got it by heart. 4 pounds.
What a day I had at the office. All these people call me. My name's not Rob.
We'll serve that guy right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sending us a press release telling that he interviewed Mr. Moneybag. He's positive. Had at least a 50% chance of being a good marriage.
He's a good guy. He'll have fun with it.
I want to mention, as we go into the world of Buzz Burbank, mm-hmm. that we did have Paul Walton on the show today,
yes.
the guy who had turned down the opportunity to be the Who Wants to Marry a Multimillionaire, and we did get him to commit for our brand new contest, mm-hmm. Who Wants to Go Steady with a Multimillionaire.
I love this. A serious contest.
Yes. Absolutely.
We're going to be bringing Paul Walton and 5 or 10 girls up to New York one day when we go to New York to do the show.
That's going
to
be awesome.
To have a big pageant and let him pick the girl who is going to be going steady with.
Just going steady, no real commitment.
Who wants to go steady with a multimillionaire.
Absolutely. Paul Walton.
Starring Paul Walton, the guy who turned down the gig on Fox.
That's right. He's going to have to come up with a gift, though.
That was announced on today's show. Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and the comments tonight?
It's a good one. A mobster turned good turns bad again.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Really. Stay tuned. I like the mobster story. Stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up. On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That sure was.
Hey, professional. Forget about it.
Tape's uncued, Rob.
Is it?
What tape was that?
Well, that's... just queued up.
Well...
Right before your eyes.
Ready now.
Ta-da!
This tape.
This one right here.
This is the Don and Mike Show. He's the Don and Mike Show.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
Hey, American Midwest. What are your plans for St. Patrick's Day? Green beer? Corned beef and cabbage? How about a Las Vegas-style show? You heard it right. Don and Mike are coming to Wichita to kick a little Kansas. Friday, March 17th, for the first time ever, Don and Mike bring their legendary, all-new Las Vegas-style show to the Cotillion. It's free to get in, but you got to be 21 years of age. The fun starts at 8 Central. Call 316-722-4201 for information or direction. St. Patty's Day with the Radio Guys. A splendid time is guaranteed for all. Aaron Gonzalez. Huzzah.
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 Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Mafia turncoat Sammy the Bull Gravano.
I knew it was Sammy the Bull. Did I say that walking out of here?
Called it.
It was the Bull. I knew
it
was, Don.
Got yourself a gun.
It was the Bull. Sammy the Bull Gravano. He was the guy that did it.
Got yourself a gun.
You listen to me. Don't you ignore me. I'm telling you, it was Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Got yourself a gun.
No, Mike called it.
Yes, he did.
As he left the room, Mike said, I bet it's Sammy the Bull.
He was right.
Forget about it.
Sammy was arrested.
He's not obsessing about his clock, as he is even now as we speak.
That's a lie, Don. That's a big, big lie. You're lying.
Lying. I am not lying.
Yes, you are.
I am not lying.
Just wanted to get it right.
I am not lying.
Thank you, Mr. Wendell.
It has been 4 hours.
I know it has.
Mike has been obsessing about his digital clock.
Somebody up the clock up. What do you forget about?
4 hours. I got to look up, and this guy's playing with the clock.
I'm sorry. It'll be done soon, I promise you, I hope.
What are you doing?
I'm just adjusting the clock. That's all.
Sammy the Bull has been arrested in Arizona.
I tell you, he's been obsessing about this all effing day.
It's just about fixed now, is that right?
You bet your ass, Buzz.
Okay.
Your ass.
All day, every break, end of the break, Mike says to Rob, hey, what can we do about this clock? Are the engineers
done.
Here?
Bingo! Fixed!
Excellent.
Fantastic! It's over! I got a thing. You know how you got things?
I got a thing.
I got a thing about having my clock right.
I know you do.
I like my clock right.
And you're set.
Not left.
Right.
Right.
You like your clock right, right?
Yeah, it's a good thing. Forget
right.
about it.
Right.
Right on.
Sammy finally got his clock fixed.
I got it fixed.
Huzzah.
I went to the fixer.
Finally.
Wendell. Wendell the Smokes. Wendell Smokes.
Sammy the Bull arrested in Arizona for involvement with what police say is a new crime syndicate.
A new crime syndicate.
Yeah, he's bad news. He's a rat.
He was a rat.
He's a lousy, dirty rat.
It was Gravano who helped send John Gotti up the river. The feds were thrilled at the time. They say he was one of their best informants ever.
You owe me 45 boxes.
Yeah, 45 boxes is easy. So even though he did kill 19 guys, they gave him just 5 years in prison.
Oh, poor John.
Set him free.
Life ain't been good since John's gone inside.
But now...
God rest his soul.
That's for
may
sure.
May he rest in peace.
Police in Phoenix say that Sammy the Bull Gravano is part of a new gang that deals in drugs. They've been selling, I guess, like 30,000 hits of ecstasy to the kids.
Well, you could get 80 boxes of ZD for that, Buzz.
Serious ZD.
And the new mob, apparently, according to the police, also includes white supremacists.
Hey, welcome, Rob Spiewak.
Interesting new twist.
Hey, the Spiewak gang.
We want to welcome our newest made man.
Rob Spiewak.
He's a white supremacist.
Forget about it.
Very proud.
There you go. Hey, Mr. Robbie.
Official
Robbie Two Sandwiches.
He's a white supremacist. He's a friend of ours.
Officials in Thailand are telling the teenagers there to stop putting MSG in their soft drinks. The kids have been putting the flavor enhancer known as monosodium glutamate into their carbonated beverages.
Hey, listen, you Koreans.
They believe, Thailand, Thais.
Thais.
Thais. They believe.
Hey, listen, Thais.
I got nice Thais.
Stop putting the Madison Square Garden in your soda pops.
Don't boo it. The kids are under the assumption that doing this makes a good aphrodisiac, like a teenager needs an aphrodisiac.
Oh, yeah, come on.
The health ministry says it sent letters to every school in the northern province of Chiang Mai urging teachers to warn the kids against the unsafe sex that the MSG fad could promote.
Listen, kids, just don't do it in the no-no place.
Yeah, that's bad.
Not in the no-no place.
No, just keep it out of the no-no place.
Keep putting that MSG in, it could happen.
Right.
The phones have been ringing off the hook at the Georgetown Medical Center. That's where a former employee allegedly used what may have been dirty needles to steal drugs from IV tubes.
He said the phone's ringing off the hook.
There's the phone now.
I'm not saying anybody's going to answer. You just said the phone is ringing off
the hook.
Someone get the phone!
People upset, concerned about this former employee who may have used dirty needles to draw drugs out of IVs. The IVs.
Why?
People,
there's somebody finally answered.
People were using at the time.
It sounded like Ernest Borgnine.
This employee.
Hello? Hi.
Why, it is Ernest Borgnine. The employee reportedly
Hey, Ernest, what's the story with those needles?
Yucky.
Yeah, you're right
thank
about
you.
That.
Thank you, Ernest.
Sure. It's well said.
Yeah.
This guy reportedly used those same needles to replace the missing medicine with saline solution, so hopefully nobody would notice. The hospital says nearly 300 former patients may be at risk for hepatitis or the AIDS virus.
Oh, my God. You go and let to get your gallbladder removed, you come out with the hivy.
But it also says the risk is very minimal. Nevertheless, terrified former patients have been swamping the phones at the hospital demanding answers. Only people treated in the radiology department in the past 6 months are considered at possible risk.
Hi.
Ernest Borgnine. He's not the guy.
No. No, he's not the guy.
Hi.
You don't want this guy.
Hi yourself. It's Mikhail.
Mikhail.
He's a friend of ours. His name is McHale.
Quentin McHale. Yeah.
McHale.
If you got a problem with him, you go see Robbie Two Sandwiches.
Tanya Harding has pleaded innocent to domestic assault charges. She was in court.
She was a whore.
Pleading innocent today. She's accused of getting medieval on her live-in boyfriend by hitting him in the face with a hubcap. Also accused of just plain punching him. The two were arguing after they parked their car in a barn after an evening of drinking and playing video poker.
Hey, Mike, video poker.
There you go. I knew there was a little white trash in that hobby.
Good enough for you, enough for Tanya Harding.
Absolutely. She can come over to my house and play video poker when I eventually get the machines. I haven't gotten them yet.
Ah.
I got a date, though.
Hide the hubcaps.
First one coming in Monday.
Monday.
And if everything checks out, we keep it, mm-hmm. and we'll add to the collection.
Monday.
Monday.
A judge has ordered Tanya to stay away from that boyfriend and to stay away from alcohol. She'll be back in court next month.
Time out there, Buzzy. Be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Their experience. They start tea.
Right.
Don and Mike.
4-1.
At a time.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Cue the train wreck. Kathy Lee Gifford is David Letterman's first female guest host tonight.
And you will hear a total recap.
Good.
On tomorrow's show. I mean, we're going to take the whole thing.
You bet.
And we're going to break it down sentence by sentence.
Good. Yeah, because we think there's a very good chance it'll be one serious TV disaster.
It should be. Now, Kathy Lee says Letterman's producer invited her after she convinced him to see her fill in for Carol Burnett on Broadway.
This is a lie.
Yeah. She says that she got him to come to one of her performances, her last performance on Broadway. She tells the
date. Right, and then he went and he said, God damn.
Please.
Kathy Lee is talented. Please come host the David Letterman show.
She's so amazingly talented. She tells the Daily News, quote, it breaks up the monotony of doing just live, just like doing other projects does for Regis.
The first bit of truth.
Oh, God.
She's jealous that Regis has his millionaire show.
You know, that's a lousy show. With the guest list, with Letterman hosting it, that's a lousy show, too.
Sure.
Tom Arnold.
Right.
Joy Behar. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump.
Absolutely a lousy show.
Those are
sizzling. I smell sulfur. She said, she tells the paper she hasn't decided whether she'll be back for another year of the morning show or not.
Save us.
She says, it's not about the money. Quoting again, it's always about time. I'm always seeking more vacation or time to spend with my children.
You know, about the children, I got to mention this.
Yes?
I was watching the show today, the Regis and Kathy C. show, and all week long, you know, during February, when they have the ratings, they do the most ridiculous stupid stuff on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
Right.
They do like
the marriages and stuff.
The
like
marriages.
That.
And this week they're having amazing kids.
Okay.
Where they get like a kid who's good at geography and they dress Regis up in a cabin gown.
Oh, man. Professor.
And they pointed a map.
Yeah.
And the kid names the country and Regis can't name it. And then they wah, 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 wah. Well, they've been building up that Friday, Cody Gifford was going to come on the show to play piano. Because to hear Kathy C. say it, he can't walk into a bar, a restaurant, anybody's house. If there's a piano, he has to sit down and play.
We want to play, mommy!
I think that we're finally getting, for the first time, the real Cody Gifford. Because she had to announce today that Cody does not want to come on the show.
Good for Cody.
And play piano tomorrow.
Good for Cody. You know, there is a part of me. He didn't choose to have that woman as his mother.
I think it was the permanent scarring that she did. The last time that kid was on the show was last year on President's Day. But she dressed him up in those faggy knickers and made him wear that queer powdered wig.
Sure, absolutely.
And made him come out dressed like George Washington to play the piano.
I don't want to go on the show.
That would be the last straw.
Listen, Mom.
Yeah, you're making him older right where he's at.
Hey, Mom, I'm not playing the piano on that show, Mom.
Cody, I've told my entire listening audience and viewing audience that you are going to be on the show playing piano.
Listen, Mom, I'm not going to do it and you can't make me.
Frank, I think he's on drugs.
God is sleeping. God is always sleeping.
Cody, it would mean a lot to your mother if you would simply come on the show and play the piano.
I will come on the show if you buy me a new big screen TV. 100 inches, man.
We already have a 70-inch television in the basement, Cody. You don't need a 100-inch
TV. That's my last offer, Mom.
Cody?
And I'm not wearing any faggy powdered wig either.
Cody, you're backing your mother into a corner.
That's my terms, Mom.
We'll discuss it. Where's my limo?
Take me to the city. I'm not doing the show. Ellen, Mom! Did you see Regis's ratings? He kicked ass.
I hate them. I hate my boy.
He's the number one guy on TV, Mom.
Go wake your father up.
About she didn't mention Frank. As a matter of fact, she said time to spend with my children. And about Regis's success, she says he deserves it more than anybody. He's never really been appreciated.
Oh, that is such a backhanded compliment.
She's such a cunny.
Yeah.
Kathy Cunny Gifford. Kathy C. Gifford.
NASA is strongly denying reports that it's conducted sex in space experiments. Remember yesterday's story? A French astronomer was claiming he could prove the experiments took place with a document he found. Specifically, the document was entitled NASA number 12571-3570. Quoting a NASA spokesman, "We are not, have not, and do not plan to conduct any sex experiments.
We will build in the spacecraft and I will bring the women in with an unshaved armpit."